Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Gratitude does have tremendous power, and I love the scripture that Pastor Brad preached on last week. Pastor Ali alluded to it, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I love this. And when Paul said this, it's because he had a revelation that there is actually a spiritual power in gratitude, that it actually has the power to change atmospheres as we speak out thanks. It shifts things in the spirit, that it actually has the power to pull heaven down into a situation that may not be actually displaying heaven in it. And it actually turns hopeless situations into ones that are full of possibility. I've seen the darkest situations changed simply because gratitude was expressed, and we thank the Lord in that situation in spite of the circumstances. I do want to say that it's not natural. I would love to get up and say, you know what, it's part of your DNA to be grateful. And it's look, see these bags under my eyes? I've got a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and I can tell you gratitude is not a natural predisposition in human beings. And I know it from my own life, but I know it again in raising two little children. And so this morning, I want to talk about enemies to gratitude, because the enemy knows the power of gratitude. And I think not just the enemy, but there are enemies within us as human beings and as we live this very normal human life on the earth that actually work against this great power that God has put in your hand to see things change and shift in the atmosphere around you. And so this morning I actually want to read from a story that kind of really looks at well, even when things are going right, even when things are going good, there are natural enemies to gratitude, and there are solutions that will cause you to take those enemies out so that you can live the power of a grateful life. Why don't we have a look at Luke 17, verses 11 to 19 this morning. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border, and another translation says the borderland between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, like literally as he's traveling to the priest, they were healed on the way. It's a profound miracle. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" He's not trying to be rude, but there is something obvious here missing. Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Isn't that incredible? You know, 10 men were affected by the plight of leprosy. And to us in our 21st century Sydney kind of world, we might go, well, just go to the doctors. But we've got to understand that this disease, and it actually in biblical times is a word that was used to describe a whole lot of incurable skin diseases that would basically alienate and separate people. Literally, they were cast out to the borderland, to a place that nobody dwelled. They needed to leave their family. They needed to leave their livelihood. They were probably in poverty as a result of this disease. They were permanently, their life was permanently altered. They were on the borderlands. And I think it's really intriguing that at the get-go of this story, Jesus is on the borderland. Don't you think that is an incredible thing? That our Saviour, when we're in a place on a borderland in our life, maybe you're going through a difficult situation right now in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, and it seems insurmountable. I want to declare today that Jesus is in the borderlands of our life. Jesus is right there, and this story actually happens in that context. So if you are in a borderland right now where you feel very alienated and you feel like it's insurmountable, you are in the right place to find the Savior, because he is right on the borderlands with you. And I love it. When we can't break out, he breaks in. Isn't that incredible? I remember when I was in India in my 20s, going to a leper colony, and the first time I went, hung out there, and the second time I actually was invited in to preach in this leper colony, and it really was a world within a world. Hard to believe that it existed in our day and time, and still does, that these people would be alienated, would not be living life as normal. They would make life as normal as possible, but really they were cut off from the rest of society. And Jesus doesn't approach them. It's interesting. The distance remains. They call out to him, and he simply responds to their request for a miracle. Literally says, "Hey, yeah, no problem. Go to the priest." And as they went, they were healed. Distance remained. And it was actually, believe it or not, their faith that activated the power of God in their lives for healing. It's incredible. But what I find curious about this story, that they've got this life-altering condition. They had enough faith to call for a miracle. They had enough faith that they would draw out of Jesus the power of God unto healing. They had enough faith to even act on the words that when Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest," they were not already healed. They actually went, and as they went, they were healed. And it was that Samaritan that on the way then, "Oh my gosh, are you joking? My arm is clearing up. Oh my goodness, my nose has grown back. I can't believe this. My kneecaps are coming. This is incredible." They had enough faith. But what this story comments on is not the faith of these people, and this is very, very hard for a Pentecostal church to come to terms with. It's not their faith in this story that Jesus says is the distinguishing factor, the turning point, the climax of the story. It's actually the response of one man, someone who he's not even familiar with the faith of these people. It's the distinguishing feature of gratitude in one man. One man turned back and realized he was healed. One man praised and gave God glory. One man fell on his face in front of Jesus. One man thanked him. And Jesus doesn't remark early on about the power of his faith and the strength of his faith to turn his life around. He actually highlights deeply in this story the power of one man's gratitude in the face of a miracle. You know, the other 10 weren't less cured. The other 10 were not less blessed or less healed. They were simply less grateful. Just simply less grateful. And it's kind of ironic because their name, they were Jewish. Their name was derived from Judah, which means praise. So in one sense, in all of their faith, in all of their reaching out for a miracle, they forgot who they were. They forgot the core of their identity. They forgot praise of God and thanksgiving to God for the miracle. And why didn't they come back? You know, the Bible doesn't really talk about it. I feel like maybe, a little bit of poetic license here, that maybe it's left blank for a reason. Maybe we're meant to stand in that gap and go, "It could have been me. It actually could have been me." And the reasons why could have been that they just wanted to be seen by the right people. "I just need to get to the priest. I just need to do what I know in my community unlocks the door again to join society. And I just need to get on with doing it. I don't have time to say thank you." You know, maybe it was desperation, a deeper desire to see family and re-engage. I miss my children. I miss my wife. I miss those that I knew in that community, and we become so consumed by a distraction of other desires. Maybe it was the fear of being associated with Jesus because he was a marked man. Maybe it was simply forgetfulness. But whatever it is, there is something about this story that brings a confronting truth to you and I, that we can be beneficiaries of his goodness, we can receive his miracles, we can even have our life transformed and our position changed, because their position in society was radically and completely turned around that day. But we can walk away without a spirit of gratitude. Isn't that incredibly confronting that Jesus can do so much for us? And even as believers, we can know the power of his love and the forgiveness of our sin, the restoration of our family. And yet we can, because of an enemy within us, walk away completely ungrateful, and it will block us from the joy and the peace and the daily connection that only thankfulness to Jesus Christ, you know, it says we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter his courts with praise. Maybe we're not entering his presence as freely as we could because we've forgotten the power of thanksgiving. You know, in Song of Solomon, I really vacillated as to whether to preach this passage or not today out of Song of Solomon, and I've just decided to include it. But it says in Song of Solomon 2:15, and it's the story between a lover and a beloved. It's a picture of Jesus and his church. And it says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in full bloom. Do you know your life is in full bloom in Jesus Christ? You may be experiencing challenges here of life on earth, but there is fruit in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. And the enemy will send in the sneaky little foxes to steal the full fruit. You know what? You just pick off a grape here and there and then a whole bunch and then something's missing and then literally the harvest, the vintage that really should have come out of your life is missing. And I believe a lack of gratitude is a little fox that can so sneakily get in and rob us of the fruit that we're destined to have. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything flows from within it. You know, the sense of that is garden your heart, tend to it. Make sure the right things are growing in it. Make sure gratitude is finding full flight. You know, the man in this story was distinguished by gratitude. And I love it because it made way, not just for a physical miracle in his life, but his soul was healed. He experienced the fullness of healing. His body was healed and his soul was healed simply because he was grateful. He went back and thanked God, thanked Jesus for what he did. This morning, I want to equip you to cultivate a grateful spirit and to overcome the enemy within so that you will experience the goodness of God in every season. I can't promise you, I'm an incredible realist. I've got incredible faith and I've got great ideals. I've got an idealistic side to me, but I'm a realist. I know that life on earth, Jesus said, comes with trials and troubles. But he says, take heart, I've overcome the world, and our gratitude guarantees us that in every single season, no matter what comes against you in your life, that you will experience the goodness of God. I guarantee it. So why don't we make a start? The first is that gratitude uncovers treasures hidden in plain sight. Gratitude uncovers treasures hidden in plain sight. You know, I find it so intriguing and hindsight, looking retrospectively is a great revealer, I think. We see clearly, but maybe our lives look like this too. When Jesus arrived on the borderland that day, when he arrived at that place that nobody really wanted to go to, it was like the rubbish heap of life, maybe a freaky place that to pass into that place was fraught with risk. You know, these people were alienated. But when Jesus arrived on the borderland that day, the full kingdom, the kingdom in its entirety, arrived on the borderland. You know, literally forgiveness of sins, freedom, salvation and healing, which they experienced, arrived on the borderland that day, the entirety of the kingdom. And when they begin to cry out to Jesus, I just love that he does not qualify that they're ceremonially unclean, so you guys should shut up because there's nothing I can do for you. You're ceremonially unclean. You should not be crying out to me. You have no right to access worship right now. No. It didn't matter that they were on the borderland in a place that wasn't cool to visit. It didn't matter that they were crying out and calling out and they were kind of uncouth and weird. Has anyone ever seen someone on an altar call and you've made a judgment? Why are they trying to access God? Do they understand how foolish they look? No. Because when you're in need of a miracle, you don't care how you look, right? And Jesus makes no judgment. Yet once they're healed, They are completely blinded to everything else he can offer. They've got what they've come for. They move on, and maybe they're blinded by, you know what, I've just got to go to what I know now. I've got to go join that priest and that temple and just get back into doing what I always used to do before I was sick. And they miss out, and blessing becomes a blockage. Do you know, in Christ, as your life opens up, it is as it inevitably does. You know, people that come to know Christ in poverty, as they grow in Jesus Christ, as the kingdom comes and transforms in their life, finances change. People begin to come out of poverty because of the power of God. Marriages heal. Lives heal. Teenagers come back to Christ. This is the fruit of the kingdom. People get delivered from those things that oppress them. But if we're not careful, the blessing can blind us to the full magnitude, the full horizon of the kingdom of God. What gratitude does and did in the life of this leper is it made him fully awake to God's goodness, and he could access, healing was just the entree to the full banquet of the kingdom. Do you understand that gratitude unblinds you, lifts the veil off your eyes, and helps you access the full blessing of the kingdom? Can I just say, gratitude in a marriage unlocks the gold that is there hidden in plain sight. Gratitude towards your children, grateful gratitude to God for the gift of these children that exhaust me every day. But God, I prayed for these children once upon a time. I believe for these children once upon a time. Gratitude unlocks the potential in our children. It maximizes every opportunity in the workplace, no matter how hard it is. Gratitude will unblind you to the blessing in your workplace that is hidden in plain sight. And it uncovers the treasure that is hidden in plain view that you don't even realize is a part of the kingdom life that God has given you. As a beginning teacher, before I graduated, through a series of circumstances, was invited to an interview that was very random. I got a call when I was on prac, and I got this interview that I ended up taking my dad to sit out the front. I'm thinking, this is so weird. I don't know where I'm going. It was kind of out west. And I'm like, but I thought, you know what? I think God's in this. And when I sat down with that principal, I remember just the presence of God coming into the interview and God opening my eyes and showing me this was an opportunity that he provided. He promised me 2 months before in my quiet time that he had a place of greatest effect for his kingdom for me as a teacher. And I held to that promise, and at a time when everything was saying in the news as jobs for teachers are drying up, it's a really dry place, God had promised me, I have something for you. You'll be starting on January 28th at a school, and it will be of greatest effect for my kingdom, for your life. And I remember in that interview, God opening my eyes to the principal that interviewed me and showing me this man is a great man. He's doing great things for my kingdom. He's been very high in state education. I've taken him out of it to build a witness for me in the private sector. And God really opened my eyes. Well, as life went on in this school and I took up residence there and taught there for 5 years, it was a new school. So the pressure came on, resource pressure, staffing pressure. Everyone was doing more than they probably would have in other schools. The responsibility was high. The gratitude from the students was often low as they learned the culture of the school. And yet God showed me that the key to your success, the key to you receiving blessing in this workplace, is expressing gratitude to this great boss I put in your life. And so I'd express to him regularly and clearly, you know, his name was Brian. You know, Brian, I'm so grateful. Thank you for the way that you're leading the school. I'm so grateful. I'm learning so much about leadership, for I truly was. And the more I express gratitude, the opener, his heart was to me, and he'd express gratitude to me. He literally, he would take the time to write to every staff member to express his gratitude to them. And as a result, he got the best out of his teaching staff. He drew the gold. But for me, I got more time from this principal than any other staff member, because God kept on reminding me, you stay grateful. Don't capitulate to the complaining in the staff room. Don't come down to the level of complaining and whinging and losing sight of the fact that I placed you here. And, you know, to this day, I was mentored in the early part of my career, and it's flowed on into my ministry, by one of the best educators in Australia. He's just revolutionised parts of education. And even when I was came to be on staff here, he'd come and visit me, have a coffee, invest into me. And he said at his graduation, or retirement, sorry, kind of a graduation of sorts, said at his retirement dinner, made a note. He said, you know, Christy and I didn't always see eye to eye, singled me out as a teacher, didn't always see eye to eye on a lot of matters, but I love discussing educational leadership with her. There was a place for us to share ideas, and gratitude uncovered and unblinded me to the blessing of this great leader that God had put in my life to mentor me and set me up for a great ministry career ultimately, or ministry calling that God had put on my life. Can I just say to you, allow gratitude to unblind your eyes to the blessing. I can guarantee in every single life here, God has woven blessing for you that is hidden in plain sight, and gratitude makes us alive and present to the blessing that we so easily miss. Let gratitude uncover your eyes to the blessing that's hidden in your life in plain sight. Isn't that incredible? Gratitude, you know, not only does it uncover our eyes and unblind our eyes to what God has put in your life, you know, blessing in seed form, it cultivates, you know, it unblinds you and causes you to cultivate blessing. But gratitude will save you from yourself. Gratitude will save you from yourself. Gratitude saves us from ourselves. My kids, you know, are right at an age where they're into stuff. Anyone else's kids into stuff at the moment? Yeah, Nathan, yeah. Our kids are kind of into the same stuff, really. We discuss that periodically. But I can't take them to the park if kids around them have cool toys, because my boys have worked out a little system where they will staunch. They'll get together and they will staunch another kid for what they've got. So I took them to the... I know, it's crazy. Don't, like, watch the Mills boys. They're cheeky, man. So they ganged up on this kid recently at a Cronulla Park, which will remain unnamed, which one, and a kid turned up with a Fireman Sam backpack water extinguisher with a fire hose, right? And I watched them. Harry's like sneaking up to him like this, and Ollie gives Harry the eye, you know, yeah, we're on this together. And one grabs the backpack and the other one grabs the fire hose and just gently separates the boy from his toy. And this, I'm not kidding, this is my morning at this Cronulla Park the other week. And they, like 10 times, I had to physically remove them. It was so embarrassing. And then they did it all over again with a boat. You may have seen the picture up on my Instagram. They staunched this kid and literally, like pirates, jumped in his boat, kicked him out of the boat. And I'm like, guys, they're pretty wild, right? They like stuff. And they've become accustomed that when I travel and go away for a trip for 3 days or a week or whatever, that they get a present at the end. And it started out as something that was a nice little sweetener. You know, mummy goes away, you miss me for a week, but at the end you get a present. And it turned into something that became an expectation to the point where when I went away recently to state conference, I get in the car and the first thing one of them, which will remain unnamed, says to me is, "Mummy, where's my present?" And I'm like, "No, I only went away for 2 nights." He goes, "You need to get back on that plane. You need to fly to Port Macquarie and you need to go get my present." You know, we laugh. And yet I wonder how quickly our hearts devolve from suddenly the blessings of God to what we are owed. What am I owed? What's mine? What's my right as a child of God? You know, it's one thing to understand your spiritual authority and what your inheritance is in Christ. It's quite another to act in a spirit of entitlement. And, you know, God, you are my genie. You owe me one, mate. You know, it changes everything. You know, these 9 Jews, and I've got to be careful because it's reading between the lines of the scripture, but maybe they were so familiar with the pattern of religion that they simply defaulted to, "I'm entitled to healing. And once it happens, I'm just going back to that temple and getting on with my life because it's my God-given right as a child of God." You know, haven't you read the scripture? Healing is the children's bread.
Haven't you read that it's my divine right? I am healed and I'm going to declare it. You know, it is subtle. It is a subtle enemy that is resident inside of us to begin to see the blessing of God as a right rather than the blessing and the gift of a God that loves you. You know, grace, we don't deserve. We deserve nothing. We are loved by God. We are made in His image. We are the prize of His creation. But we deserve nothing. Grace gives us everything undeserved. You know, we are a blessed nation, and Australia has experienced 27 consecutive years of economic growth. Now, I know that you switch the news on any given night, or you turn to the finance pages of The Australian or the Sydney Morning Herald, and we go, you know what, there's concerns about certain things, unemployment rates or all manner of things related to finance. But to put it in perspective, we are a blessed nation that has literally experienced nearly 30 years of economic growth in our nation. And what concerns me about that for myself is I can be like the proverbial frog in the saucepan, boiling and not realizing what's at work to kill my soul. You know, I think about things like an attitude of pride. You know what? It's great that I'm rich. I earned it. I earned it. I earned that healing. I earned it. A spirit of pride that turns the blessing of God into something, actually, I earned it. I was the one that cried out to Him. I earned that healing. Or entitlement. I'm owed it. You know, I've worked so long. I've served God so faithfully. I'm entitled to it. You know, it is my first-class upgrade. I'm a child of God. I'm entitled to it. No, Jackson, you are entitled to it. I was telling someone about your upgrades the other day. It's incredible. We're so familiar with the blessing of God, it's like we're entitled to it. There's no gratitude attached to it any longer for us. Or comparison, they've got it. It's only fair that I should have it. You know, there's nothing fair about grace. It's completely unfair. It is so unfair that you get what you get in Jesus Christ. Isn't that an incredible thing? You know, there's a story in an earlier part of Luke 7, in fact, and it is like a parallel story to this in some respects. And there's a woman there that she had lived such a bad life and sinned so badly and experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, the cleansing. She'd been set free from the bondage of sin. And her response to His goodness was to sit at His feet in Simon's house and cry tears. Like, I would imagine she's heaving tears of gratitude. Jesus, thank You. My life was just so bound before You came. You set me free. So grateful. She takes her dowry, the thing that represented her key to a livelihood in the future, and breaks this perfume open over His feet, dries His feet with her hair, loses her dignity because He restored it, loses her dignity in gratitude to Him because He restored her so deeply. You know, Simon, like a lot of us sometimes, judges it and says, what are you doing? Why are you letting her do that? And Jesus is like, you didn't even recognize the need to wash my feet, and here she is in incredible gratitude implied in it. You know what? I poured out all the same blessing over your life, Simon. You don't realize how much you needed me. You needed me just as much as her. And here she is, not in a spirit of entitlement, pride, comparison. I poured out my love on you, Simon, and the blessing blinded you. You know, gratitude will save us from ourselves. The deception that we don't need what He's got to give, that our life wasn't as broken as someone else's. The deception that somehow we earned it. You know, finally, gratitude draws you close to receive the greatest miracle. Gratitude draws you close to receive the greatest miracles that God has to offer. You know, this story has to be read through proximity and distance. You have to look at the geographical location of things. You know, the disease distanced them. But do you know Jesus also healed them at a distance originally? They called out, He responded at a distance and said, just go to the priest. I'm releasing healing power. By the time you get to the priest, you know, let them verify you are healed. It's not until the leper comes back, the tenth man, the Samaritan, comes back, throws himself at Jesus' feet, praises him loudly, thanks him. He physically comes close. That is the first close encounter. Gratitude is the first close encounter in this story. Gratitude draws him out of isolation and alienation into presence and proximity. And there's a closeness that comes about where he gets the full miracle because of his gratitude. Luke 17, 19 says, then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You know, I've healed your body, but your faith has resurrected your life. Your faith in me. It's like, get up, rise and go. It's associated with resurrection. New life has come, literally like the prodigal son. You were dead and now you're alive. Rise up and go. Ephesians 2, 12, 13 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreign to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Gratitude positions us for the full miracle, the greater miracle, the eternal miracle. You know, atmospheres of thanksgiving are hotbeds of intimacy where miracles have conceived. You know, literally your thanksgiving will draw you close, draw near to him, it says, and he'll draw near to you. Thanksgiving draws us near to him. There's a story that profoundly ministers to me, and it was set in World War II. And these women had been taken away to a concentration camp for hiding Jews. One of them was called Corrie Ten Boom, one of my favourite characters ever. And she literally was in this squalor, their barracks, their particular barracks. Like, it was just a cruel environment of abuse and lack and poverty and just the worst of human evil. And they somehow snuck a Bible through the searches and so forth. And her sister read, you know, in everything give thanks, the scripture that Pastor Brad used last week. In everything give thanks. And she's like, Corrie is really struggling with this. You know what, in this flea-infested barracks, I need to give thanks to God. And God really worked on her heart. And she, out of a discipline, God, I give you thanks in this flea-infested barracks. I give you thanks, God, even in this environment with fleas everywhere, we're being bitten every night. I give you thanks that you're present here, God. And literally day after day, no guard approached their barracks. And day after day, Corrie and Betsy, her sister, would lead these prisoners, some of them destined for the gas chambers, would lead literally countless women to the Lord Jesus Christ. Countless women. They risked their lives to do it. Countless women. And she finds out after the war that the reason why no guards approached that barracks is because out of all the barracks in that hell hole, it was so infested with fleas that not even the guards would go near it. In all circumstances, in every situation, give thanks to God. Would you give him thanks this morning? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for you right now, and I'm just going to ask that every head would be bowed and every eye would be closed, because firstly, I want to pray over everyone here that a spirit of thanksgiving would transform your life, and that where the enemy's been coming, the enemy within you, to squash your thanksgiving and squash the potential that God wants to bring about in your life, that you a spirit of thanksgiving would be restored. And so if that's you, would you just lift your hands right now and go, God, would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? God, we just, right now, I just, across this auditorium, as hands are lifted high, God, would you just stir afresh, God, a spirit of thanksgiving, God, that we may see your blessings. God, that you would unblind us, God, to what you've woven in our lives as blessings from you. God, we're so grateful for Jesus. We're so grateful for all you do for us, God. We just open our hearts afresh, God, to be thankful for all you are. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, the greatest miracle in this story was not the healing. That was amazing. That restored these people's life on earth. But the greatest miracle in this story was that leper that came back and he found life when he laid his down at the feet of Jesus. And in doing so, in coming to him, surrendering his life to him, he finds true life. And he walked away with so much more. He got healing, but in coming back with thanksgiving, in coming back and giving his life to Jesus, he got it all. He got it all. And maybe you're here this morning and you have come to church before. Maybe this is the first time. I don't know. But as I've been talking, there is a lack in your life. Your life may be all together. You may have a home. You may have a beautiful family, but you just know internally something is missing. Can I just say, you will never feel like that thing is together. It'll never feel right until you give your life to Jesus Christ. And he won't take your life from you. He will receive you and he will restore you and he will make you more who you're truly meant to be. You know, he'll wash away your sin, wash away those things that bind you, and he will give you newness of life, freedom in him. So we're going to pray a prayer this morning, giving our lives to Jesus afresh. And if that's you this morning and you're like, yeah, that's me for the first time, would you pray it from your heart? God will hear it and he will restore your life in him. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of eternal life. This morning, I say yes. I say yes to you, Jesus. Wash me clean. Make me new. Thank you that today, from now on, I will never be alone. You'll always walk with me. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you're like, you know what, I want to give my life to him. I prayed that prayer for the first time. In a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. And every head is bowed, every eye closed. It's a private moment in a public setting. I'm going to get you to quickly pop your hand up because I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, that like that one that came back to say thank you, that you would know what it is to have your life restored by Jesus Christ. If you're saying yes to him for the first time this morning, on the count of three, would you slip your hand up? 1, 2, 3. Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else here that's joining that gentleman today and saying yes to Jesus Christ? I need my life restored. Thank you. Is there anybody else this morning? You're like, yeah, I feel my body may not be sick. My life may be together in so many ways, but I need to say yes to Jesus Christ today to have my life restored in him. Is there anybody else that would say yes today to the restoration of Jesus Christ? God, I just thank you for that gentleman today that has given his life back to you. I speak full restoration over him, God. I speak, Lord, where there has been losses, that you would restore those things that he feels are lost forever. And I thank you, Jesus, that more than that, you are going to restore life to him in Jesus' name, that he will never walk alone, God, that he will always have you by his side, God. I just thank you for him. In Jesus' name, why don't we just get up on our feet just for one moment before Pastor Allison comes back? Why don't we just sing thank you, Jesus, and express our deep gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ for all that he is for us today.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.